Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're venturing into the often misunderstood world of introverts. You, our listener, have curated some really fascinating articles and chapters for us, stuff that really digs into what it means to be introverted.
Yeah, it's a great selection.
And we're aiming to forget the stereotypes, you know. Our mission today is to unearth the genuine strengths.
The unique ways they experience things.
Exactly. And how they contribute to the world. We're here to distill these key insights and help understand that, well, that quiet power within.
Spot on. And the pieces you've shared, they offer such a rich exploration. Everything from the subtle ways introverts perceive their surroundings to the profound impact of their inner world of reflection.
And those distinct strengths they bring, often overlooked strengths.
Definitely, to all sorts of aspects of life.
Okay, so let's start there, this idea of the silent observer. Reading through the intro article in that first chapter, what really struck me was this incredible capacity introverts seem to have for keen observation.
Yeah.
It's not just about being quiet, is it? It feels like they're picking up on a whole different layer of information.
That's a really crucial distinction. Their quieter approach, it often allows for a different kind of information intake. And processing.
How so?
Well, introverts tend to absorb a wealth of subtle cues. Think body language, small shifts in tone.
And unspoken stuff.
Exactly. Those unspoken dynamics that can just fill a room. Details that someone more, let's say, actively engaged outwardly might just miss.
Yeah, you'd breeze right past it.
It's almost like their attention is naturally tuned to these nuances.
That makes sense. So it's not passive seeing, it's active noticing. And the text really emphasized that this observation isn't the end point.
No, not at all.
It's followed by really deep reflection. It's like they gather all this detailed data and then, well, they spend time analyzing it.
Right. Connecting the dots internally.
Leading to some profound insights, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
About people's motivations, those underlying emotions. That whole idea of reading between the lines feels like a real strength here.
It really is.
So what are some specific advantages? I mean, having this kind of detailed, reflective observation.
Mm-hmm.
What does that offer in, say, complex situations?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, in complex social settings, for instance, an introvert might be the first one to sense, you know, a subtle shift.
Like in the group dynamic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a flicker of discomfort, maybe some unspoken tension that others may be caught up in the more obvious interactions, just miss completely.
And noticing that early is valuable.
Incredibly valuable. It allows them to navigate things more thoughtfully. Perhaps even head off potential conflicts before they escalate.
What about problem solving? The texts mention that too.
Yeah, so while an extrovert might immediately jump in, maybe brainstorming aloud.
Thinking out loud.
Right. The introvert's initial quiet observation and reflection allows them to build a more comprehensive understanding first, getting to the roots of the problem before proposing solutions.
Which often leads to those more methodical, well-considered outcomes the sources talk about. Interesting. It's like they're building a more complete mental picture before they act. How does this feed into creativity?
Yeah.
Because the sources suggest that solitary observation is a real source of innovative ideas.
It absolutely is. Solitude, that quiet space, it provides the room for those subtle observations to kind of percolate, to connect in unexpected ways.
Without the constant noise.
Exactly. Without constant external stimulation, the introvert's mind can draw these connections between seemingly disparate pieces of information, and that leads to novel insights, those unique perspectives that can really drive innovation.
It's just a different path to creativity, isn't it, than the more sort of collaborative, outward-facing ways we often think about.
A very different but equally valid pathway.
And in relationships, this keen observation skill must be a huge asset. The text described them as being able to truly hear others, both what they say and, maybe more importantly, what they don't say.
Makes them valued confidants. Absolutely. Their attentiveness to those emotional undercurrents, combined with that reflective nature we talked about, it means they can often understand and empathize on a much deeper level.
They're not just waiting for their turn to speak.
No, they're actively processing what's being communicated verbally and non-verbally. And that, you know, that fosters trust. It creates space for real connection.
Okay, but here's a question. If introverts are constantly taking in and processing so much subtle information, how do they avoid just getting completely overwhelmed?
That's a critical point. And the texts highlight their inherent need for solitude. That's the crucial mechanism for managing that intensity.
So retreating isn't weakness, it's strategy.
Exactly. Their ability to intentionally step back, find clarity in their inner world, it acts as a vital reset button. It lets them process what they've observed and, crucially, recharge their mental and emotional batteries.
It's not about avoiding the world.
No, it's about engaging with it sustainably, in a way that works for their energy levels.
That makes perfect sense. And it leads us nicely into this next idea, the depths of reflection. It seems this thoughtfulness isn't just a side effect of observation. It's presented as a fundamental strength itself.
Yes, the chapters really portray reflection as this immersive internal dialogue.
Like a constant conversation with oneself.
In a way, yes. And what's fascinating is how this internal dialogue becomes their main way of making sense of things, understanding their emotions, evaluating their actions, connecting with the world.
So it's in that reflective space they find their deepest understanding.
Often, yes, and find their own internal compass. That leads to that strong sense of self-awareness that's mentioned again and again in the sources.
And this internal validation seems really key. The sources emphasize how they often look inward for answers. Building that really solid sense of self, how does that inward focus affect their relationship?
Oh, profoundly. Because they take that time to reflect, to consider different perspectives before responding.
Instead of just reacting.
Right. They often approach interactions with more empathy, more understanding. This thoughtfulness makes them exceptional listeners, able to grasp the underlying emotions, the viewpoints of others.
It's like they offer a much more considered response.
Yeah.
And this reflective style, it isn't just for personal stuff, right? It seems to boost their problem-solving and critical thinking, too.
Exactly. By weighing options internally, by applying lessons learned through past reflection, they tend to arrive at solutions that are just more thoroughly considered, more robust.
A more deliberate approach to challenges, less impulsive.
Definitely.
And we see that link back to creativity here again, don't we? The idea that solitude allows for those unexpected connections, those unhurried breakthroughs.
Precisely. That quiet time gives the mental space for those, disparate thoughts and observations to kind of bubble up and coalesce, leading to those aha moments that might just get lost in a busier, more externally driven setting.
It's like the brain can make those surprising leaps when it's not constantly dealing with external input. The texts also mention self-improvement through reflection, this sort of continuous assessment and adjustment that builds resilience.
That's a crucial point. By regularly reflecting on their experiences, their actions, introverts are often very skilled at spotting areas for growth.
And then actually making adjustments.
Right. Which fosters a strong sense of personal evolution and that ability to bounce back from setbacks, resilience.
But the texts are fair. They also acknowledge the potential downside here, the trap of overthinking.
Yes, that's the potential shadow side, isn't it? Of deep reflection. There's a fine line.
A balance needed.
Absolutely. The sources acknowledge it's possible to get kind of overwhelmed by too much self-analysis. The key is harnessing the power of reflection without getting stuck spinning your wheels,
Right,
basically.
unproductive thought loops.
Exactly.
So ultimately, the texts really position reflection as this incredibly valuable, empowering tool for introverts. A cornerstone for growth, innovation, and just navigating life's complexities effectively.
Which moves us towards this idea of quiet strength. And this really starts to dismantle some of those more simplistic, often negative stereotypes about introversion.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah.
It's not about lacking strength or assertiveness, it's just a different way it shows up.
Exactly. The chapters really hammer home that this isn't about being the loudest person or having the most obvious outward energy.
It's about a deep-seated calm, resilience.
Yes, and a certain grace in how introverts navigate social landscapes. For someone listening, maybe someone who identifies as more extroverted, what's a key thing to grasp about this quiet strength?
Good question.
I'd say a key aspect is understanding energy conservation. Social engagement, even when it's enjoyable, can simply be more draining energetically for introverts.
Compared to extroverts who might get energized by it.
Precisely. So their quiet strength lies partly in their skill at being strategic about engagement and managing their energy effectively through those intentional periods of solitude we talked about.
It's not avoidance, it's sustainability. Smart energy management.
Exactly. It's a sustainable way for them to operate in the world.
And that leads to this idea of strategic engagement mentioned in the texts. They might not be constantly jumping into the fray, but when they do participate, it's often very thoughtful, purposeful.
Spot on. They tend to prioritize deep listening over just reacting immediately. carefully considering their contributions before speaking.
And that thoughtful participation often carries more weight, doesn't it? More impact.
It often does.
And there seems to be a real grace described in how introverts navigate social dynamics.
Yes, the text suggests they can often bring a sense of calm, stability to group situations.
How does that work?
Well, their ability to read social cues, often without needing to be the center of attention themselves, lets them engage authentically. They don't feel the need to lose themselves in all the external activity.
It's a different way of contributing to a group's energy, for sure. But the material also points out how this quiet strength can be really misunderstood, especially in a society that often seems to prize extroversion so highly.
That's a huge point. Introspection, preferring calmness. Unfortunately, it can easily be misinterpreted.
As shyness. Or being disinterested.
Or even a lack of engagement, yeah. It's so important to recognize that these outward behaviors don't necessarily reflect their inner state or their level of contribution.
But the texts also suggest there's a real resilience that comes with this quiet strength.
Absolutely. They often possess a strong inner fortitude, an ability to stay grounded, even in really overwhelming social situations.
That self-reliance.
Yes. Drawing strength from within, rather than constantly needing external validation. That's a powerful form of resilience.
And in their close relationships, this quiet strength translates into, well, really deep and lasting bonds, according to the sources.
Yes, they tend to prioritize quality over quantity in their connections, offering that unwavering support and those really thoughtful, considered responses we've been discussing.
Their presence can be a source of real stability, understanding.
Definitely. In a close relationship, absolutely.
So we keep circling back to this idea of balance as being just vital for introverts. It's clearly not about total isolation.
Yeah.
Nor is it about forcing constant social interaction. It's a middle ground.
Exactly. The sources really emphasize that solitude isn't about isolation or loneliness for them. It's a fundamental need for self-preservation, for that essential reflection and recharging.
It's emotional restoration.
Yes, a necessary break from external demands, a chance to reconnect with their inner world.
But at the same time, the texts are clear.
Yeah.
Introverts do form meaningful connections, even if those circles tend to be smaller.
Yes, it's very much about prioritizing depth over breadth in relationships. They seek out interactions built on trust, mutual understanding, genuine connection.
Those are the interactions that really nourish them.
Exactly.
And it sounds like these deeper relationships are where introverts really shine. Their natural attentiveness, that thoughtfulness, the empathy makes them exceptional friends and confidants.
That's what the sources strongly suggest.
And this need for alone time, it's not static, is it? The texts describe it as more of a dynamic balance.
That's a great way to put it. It shifts depending on their experiences, their energy levels at any given time. It's an ongoing calibration, really, between social engagement and solitary recharging.
And that alone time isn't just passive doing nothing. It's described as quite an active period for processing experiences.
Reflecting on connections they've made.
Even planning future engagement, how they want to engage.
Absolutely. And it's also the time when they can fully nurture their personal interests, engage in those fulfilling activities, reading, nature, hobbies that really ground them, replenish them.
The chapter on balance also touches on some real challenges, though, especially in a world that often seems built for, or at least values, extroversion more visibly.
Yes, there can be societal pressures, misunderstandings about their need for solitude.
Leading to guilt sometimes, or others thinking they're being standoffish.
Yeah, that feeling of being perceived as antisocial or aloof when really they're just managing their energy.
But ultimately, the texts frame this careful balance as absolutely vital for their overall well-being. It's a continuous cycle, isn't it? Connection and solitude, allowing them to maintain energy and deepen relationships sustainably.
Precisely. It's about finding their rhythm.
Now let's pivot slightly and focus specifically on the strengths of the introverted mind as they relate to creativity. The material you shared really highlights that there's often this vibrant, active inner world driving their creative output.
No, definitely. It's not a blank canvas when they're quiet.
Far from it.
Yeah.
The chapters emphasize this remarkable capacity for focused, independent work. It's like that solitude we keep mentioning becomes a real catalyst for deep creative thinking, problem solving too.
Right, precisely because it minimizes those external distractions. For anyone listening, trying to foster more creativity in their own life, regardless of personality type, what's a key takeaway here?
From the introverted approach.
Yeah, I think a key takeaway is simply the value of dedicated, uninterrupted time for focused work.
Just carving out that space.
Yes. The ability to connect deeply with your own thoughts without the immediate pressure for external feedback or constant collaboration, that can be incredibly powerful for fostering innovation, developing truly original ideas.
And it's fascinating how solitude seems to enable that really deep connection with inner thoughts. The text suggests this is often where the genuine breakthroughs happen. Those innovative solutions take shape.
In those distraction-free environments, yes.
Makes sense.
When the mind isn't constantly juggling external stimuli, it just has the space to explore novel connections, to delve into the nuances of a problem or an idea much more profoundly.
And it's important we remember this creativity isn't just limited to, say, the traditional arts.
Oh, absolutely not. The sources are clear on that. This thoughtful, innovative approach is equally applicable in fields like business, science, technology.
Anywhere problem solving happens.
Exactly. Introverts can bring a unique and really valuable perspective to problem solving in pretty much any domain.
Even in more collaborative settings, the texts highlight contributions that might be easily overlooked.
Yes, exactly. While they might not be the loudest voices in the room.
Often aren't.
Right. Their thoughtful insights, those carefully considered solutions offered in smaller groups, perhaps, can be incredibly impactful. And this concept of quiet leadership emerges, too.
Tell me more about that.
Well, it's leadership based on strategic thinking, offering unique solutions that are often born from that independent work and deep reflection, rather than projecting outward authority constantly.
A different style of influence. Less assertive. Outwardly, maybe, but often deeply insightful.
Precisely. And the material also touches on a willingness sometimes to take risks, to think outside the box.
How did that connect?
Well, because their ideas often stem from a more internal, less conventional process, they can sometimes be more willing to challenge the status quo, to propose truly original, maybe even unconventional solutions.
Not tied to groupthink.
Less likely to be, perhaps. And ultimately, the text suggests this creative drive is often fueled by a really intrinsic desire, a desire to create, to contribute something of value.
Rather than just seeking external applause or recognition.
Exactly. The motivation often comes from a deep-seated passion for the work itself, a desire to make a meaningful contribution. And that can lead to incredibly powerful, sustained, creative output.
Okay, finally, let's delve into the art of self-care. Specifically for introverts. The sources really drive home that this isn't a luxury, not an indulgence.
No, it's framed as absolutely fundamental for maintaining their energy, their overall well-being, preventing burnout.
And what's crucial to grasp, it seems, is that unique way introverts experience and manage energy.
Yes. The texts clearly articulate how social interaction, even when positive, can be quite draining.
Depleting.
Whereas they find true replenishment, true recharging, through solitude. So self-care becomes less about, you know, occasional treats.
Bubble baths and chocolate.
Right. Those can be nice too. But it's more about intentionally, strategically managing their energy expenditure day to day.
And setting clear boundaries seems absolutely foundational to this.
Huge. Learning to say no sometimes, to external demands, to excessive social plans, prioritizing their own need for quiet time and space is essential.
It's about protecting their emotional and mental energy reserves.
Exactly. Being proactive in creating a sustainable rhythm for themselves.
Mindfulness and reflection also come up again here as powerful self-care tools.
Yes. Cultivating that present moment awareness, taking time for regular self-reflection, it can be incredibly grounding. It allows them to process emotions, gain clarity, and build resilience against that feeling of being overwhelmed.
And finding genuine joy in solitude, it isn't just about being alone, is it? It's more active than that.
No, it's about actively creating that sanctuary, that space where they can truly restore their energy by engaging in activities that nourish them.
Like reading, nature, hobbies.
So I did contemplation, whatever works for the individual.
Nurturing their emotional health is also highlighted as key.
Yes, seeking out those safe, supportive relationships, maybe fewer, but deeper where they feel truly understood, where they can be vulnerable without feeling drained afterwards.
Having trusted connections to process things with.
Vital for their emotional well-being.
And the texts really underscore the importance of self-compassion for introverts.
Absolutely critical. Recognizing and actually valuing their introverted nature. Practicing kindness and understanding towards themselves.
Especially when the world doesn't really get it.
Precisely. It's essential for building self-acceptance and navigating a world that doesn't always appreciate their unique needs and strengths.
So as we bring this deep dive to a close, the central message really seems to resonate, doesn't it? Silence isn't emptiness.
No, it's presence.
A powerful presence, rich with depth, clarity, and strength. Introverts, as we've explored through these sources, bring these profound, often underestimated contributions.
Through their deep reflection.
Their capacity for genuine connection.
That quiet resilience.
And their unique wellspring of creativity.
Indeed. The texts really serve as an invitation, I think. An invitation for all of us to maybe slow down a bit, to listen more attentively.
To appreciate that subtle power found in stillness.
Exactly. Solitude isn't a void. It's a vibrant inner landscape. And as these insights remind us, you know, significant impact doesn't always need a loud voice.
And true presence doesn't require constant outward performance.
Well said.
Ultimately, honoring and understanding the introverted spirit, it benefits everyone, doesn't it? It broadens our whole understanding of strength, beyond just action and speaking.
It highlights the profound value of reflection, deep listening, and yes, the vital importance of solitude in a world that often feels, well, overwhelmingly noisy.
So true.
So for you, our listener, perhaps we can leave you with this final thought. Embrace the quiet power, both within yourself, if it resonates, and in others.
Recognize the inherent beauty, the wisdom, and the strength that can be found in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the introverted experience.
Yes, thank you.
We sincerely hope this exploration has given you some valuable insights and maybe even challenged some common perceptions along the way.
We encourage you to take a moment, maybe later today, just to consider how these insights might resonate in your own life.
Or how they might deepen your understanding of the people around you, the introverts in your life.
Right.
And now, for a moment of your own personal reflection, what really stood out most deeply for you as we explore the inner world of introverts today?
What aspects might you be curious to maybe explore further on your own?